This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's so much. There's so much there. So first, I'll say I'm just like everybody else, right? Like, and I've said it, and you don't have to confirm if you don't need, but I'm like, oh, okay, well, we headed to the summer of KD. Yeah, we headed to the summer of KD. And at the very least, Will, I think he's gonna get moved. I don't know. That's just my feeling on it. At the very least, the calls and the offers will be coming in nonstop, I think. Even if they're like, I don't think we want to move them. Like, they're going to be tempted with some of the offers that are come through. Is it safe to say that this summer?
I mean, look at it like this. If I know you're selling your car and I like your car, okay, that 73 box Chev, it's worth this much. I know what it's worth. You know what it's worth. It's cold. Got the rims, got the radio, got the speakers, got the whole joint. Now, if I know you selling your car because you have to, because you down bad, you in a way, wifey said you got to get rid of this loud-ass car, the price come down a little bit. The price, like, we knocking a few thousand off now. Now you got to have it a little bit.
Now, but here's what this is what I would say about De'Aaron Fox in this situation, too, is, yes, the price goes down if it's just me and you talking. But if I tell you I got five other people that want to buy this thing, you can't haggle with me. Like, I'll just go. Who really wants it right now? Because if you really want, put your best offer out there. I think that's what's going to happen this summer.
And maybe that's what happens. You know, that's the risk you run. Because Houston could just as well say, well, Jalen starting his new extension. So that's all you get now. Take Jalen and a pick. Because I know what they offered, and I know what they and I know he wants to go. So I don't know that. I would imagine teams are gonna be waiting. I would imagine some teams have already said, yo, this summer though. Because look, everybody's restricted by where they're at in the salary cap right now. The apron, nobody knows where their picks are. Nobody, nothing. But in July, I know what my picks are. I know what free agents I'm renouncing. I can work this different. I can shift some cap around. I have some more cap. Yeah. The cap has gone up. Yeah. You're way more movable now. So it's going to come up. And again, that's another situation that's now created out of this for nothing.
And that's the thing that gets me, especially with him. And I could just imagine how he feels. He didn't ask for any of this. He was perfectly fine where he was at. Like, we're in Phoenix. I'm good here. Let's go ahead and do what we can to get better or trying to win a championship and keep it moving. And now
he did a press conference a month ago where it was like they're pressing him. What do y'all got to do to improve the team? He was like, man, look, we could just play better. It's not going to be perfect. That don't mean we quit. We keep working. What do you mean? Like, I'm supposed to just pout around because We waiting on this and that. Like, yo, we show up to work every day and we feel like we can beat everybody every day. He jumped on that sword for you. And he still did that, you know? So it's like, it's just a lot. It's just a lot. And if you created this out of nothing, you've done it. You've alienated other players on your roster as well. You benched your starting center who was in the media complaining. You benched your most recent big pickup. And feel how you want to feel about that. You know, that was the most trade chip you could use, and everybody understood the business of it, but you alienated him in that way as well. He never came off the bench in his life. And so you're fostering this type of environment to where ESPN can be on live on television and say, yeah, it's toxic in that locker room. You know, you've created this. And so, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And if you're Kevin, you're sitting there like, I just want to hoop. Y'all know I just want to hoop. Y'all know I want to hoop here, actually. And now I got to deal with all this. So it's a very interesting situation going on over there. I see you getting flagged down. I ain't going
to. No. You're good. You're good. My man James Ham, he just pulled up on him. He's got plenty of time to get.
Oh, James Ham, the Zach Levine fan, man.
Right. Right. But we had conversations over the weekend just talking about the nature of how the NBA goes down, man. And we got into a discussion of how much these guys are actually talking to owners and how often it happens and all this other stuff. Is this situation one of those things where Ishbia had to, now we have to have a talk? Or, you know, because that's one of the things that we always talked about here in Sacramento with Fox and Vivek. We was like, yo, it's time for Vivek to have a talk with him. Or is it just still, hey, basketball people do basketball things, and if you have a deal done and you need a final sign-off, then that's what I'm here for. Like, did it ever reach that point where ownership had to have a conversation?
Yeah, I believe it was reported that they spoke. I'd imagine they come out and confirm that in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, that level of player, that situation, like, even if you're not necessarily giving them the choice, you give them the, it's a loaded word, but you give them the respect to say, hey, this is what's up.
Yeah.
No different than the Lakers chatter all saying, yo, we called AD first, obviously, because he's getting traded. Mm-hmm. But then we called LeBron right after, who was sitting with Rich Paul, who's AD's agent, and maybe they're finding out, or they know, or about to know, mm-hmm. and tell him. Like, we're going to at least let you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to not give you that. We're not going to blindside you. That's why the report today that Kevin felt blindsided. That's true. I know that's true.
But so,
because I'm the one.
And I'll bring James Ham into this. My main man, James Ham. My main man, Eddie Gonzalez. We all hey. Can't right now here on D-Lo and KC. And that's what I try to get clarification on, just in any situation. When ownership comes through, is it already a done deal a lot of the times? Because you said they're going to let you know, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to let you know what's about to happen, not
yeah.
let you know, like, hey, what do you think? A lot of the time. So
yeah, that's what I think the idea that these players are working the phones and making trades, I think it's very overblown in many situations. This is some input. We have a meetings at some point saying, hey, you, similar to what they're saying they did with Luka, like, oh, what you think you need? What works best for what you do? That type of stuff. But are we sitting here running through the five trade offers we have and saying, yo, do you want Nick Richards or do you want Caleb Martin? Like, I don't think so. I just don't see that. That's not the type of conversation I've ever had with guys, that type of stuff going on. Yeah. And then, you know, then you have younger players, you know, who are bigger parts of the team and stuff like that, who don't necessarily have that stature. So yeah, I don't think Vivek is sitting down De'Aaron Fox and saying, hey, we got a chance to get, you know, Domas, how you feeling? Or whatever, you know. So I just don't see that. And I think we've seen it play out. We've seen it play out on the biggest of stage with the biggest of guy over the last few days, a few times. I think, you know, unless you're Jimmy Butler going into the office, banging the table, saying, yo, I got to go. That's it, you know.
Yeah. Eddie, real quick, I want to ask Eddie something else. about this Phoenix situation. We talk here about De'Aaron Fox and what he went through here in Sacramento, and man, he went through a lot, and you know, he had to deal with a bunch of turmoil and all this other stuff, and no wonder he wants to leave. And I know that there's been a little bit more success in Phoenix as far as made the playoffs a couple times, went to an NBA Finals. Like, I'm not disparaging that at all. But what do you think Devin Booker's feeling like? Devin Booker's seen a lot in Phoenix. And I know he's franchised there, and he probably loves it in Phoenix. But there's a lot going on. Like, what do you think his mindset is with once again, even more drama going on in Phoenix?
Well, I mean, I guess there's two ways to weigh it. One way is to say, shoot, end of the day, Jimmy Butler, Jonathan Kuminga, two firsts, two seconds. That's kind of a good haul. You know, not that he's pushing K out the door, but I would imagine if he got that far down the line, you know, he understands and it's no love lost or whatever. But, you know, confusion, because the tagline has always been, we're building around these two guys and this is what we're doing. For sure, you know, and how much does I keep getting asked? How much does you know? How much does you not know? I don't know. I don't know Book that well. I mean, we're cool. You know what I mean? I'm not asking him that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I would imagine at some point the noise gets so loud, he has to text somebody in the front office and say, yo, what's up? Yeah. You know? But, I mean, I think at the end of the day, he just wants to be seen to be as good as it can be. He was really excited that they got KD. He's really excited to have KD now still. Hopeful to be better going forward. And confused like everybody else. Because we're talking about a top, I'll be gracious and I'll say top 10 player. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to trade him and kind of downgrade, really? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to have to deal with. And I don't think he knew prior to this stuff coming out either. Yeah. I'll say that much. Yeah. So he was just as confused and caught off guard as everybody else.
I think trade season is confusing for players. Like, because I think there's a point where you are part of the discussion. Like, how many times do we hear, you know, again, like here in Sacramento, that the players were told, a handful of players or a couple of players were told very specifically, hey, we got a deal for John Collins. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're just trying to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. But if mm-hmm. not that, we're going to go back and check on Cam Johnson one more time. But we already got a deal for John Collins. And then it doesn't happen. And like, if I'm Devin Booker, you like these guys all play 2K. They're all basketball junkies for the most part. They all can look around and go, hey, that's a nice player. But that player is not going to help me win a championship. So like, you don't want to be a jerk to your teammates. But at the same time, you know, you can look at your team and assess it honestly and say, hey, look, maybe we get lucky and this thing is just going to rock. And for some reason, we'll catch lightning in a bottle. And next thing you know, we're going to be that next team that's climbing. But you get a month into a season, you get through training camp and you're looking around like, okay, this clearly is not it. And the player that you guys brought in, like, I've played with six other players just like this dude, and that's not really going to help us. And you start to come to like the realization that, like whatever you're trying to build is just, it's got a ceiling. And I think for players that becomes really frustrating. When you're young, it's okay because you're like, hey, we're all young, we're getting better, and I can spend a little bit of time like growing into this role while we got some of these pieces around us. But as you start to get older and older, and your legacy starts to be tied to whether or not your team can improve at the deadline, your financial stability, whether you're going to be a max money player or not, is tied to whether your front office can go out and get a 6'8" wing or can't for like the 14th consecutive, you know, opening for, you know, trades. Mm-hmm. And so you start to get a little bummed out about your situation, and you see your friends like Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, guys that you were in the draft with that are either winning championships or at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. And you're saying, why not me? Because I'm still a top, no matter what, no matter how you want to dice this thing, like De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, they're top 10, I mean, top 20 players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like right there at all NBA status, or they're the two guys, three guys that are right outside of that. That means they're a top 20 player in the league out of 450 plus players. And if you can't get to that next step, I can only imagine the frustration, because every time you miss on an all-star team, every time you miss on an all-NBA team, it's not only money, but it's the potential for you to be a Hall of Fame player. It's a potential for your legacy as a player to be something that it shouldn't, you know, smaller than what it should be. Even like Sabonis is here. It's just an absolute crime that Sabonis isn't an all-star, but Sabonis as a four-time all-star and a three-time all-NBA player looks way better than as a three-time all-star. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to make it this year and you didn't make it last year when you have these incredible seasons, you just put your hands up like, I can't do any more and get the notoriety that I think I deserve. And it becomes like a really difficult thing to deal with. I can't imagine being in the offseason going, hey, this is just horrible. Like, as a writer, I love being in Sacramento. I've never wanted to go outside of Sacramento. But if I was someone who wanted to climb and try to eventually get somewhere, like to, you know, go work for the mothership in Connecticut, like, it'd be really frustrating if every time, you know, you got to some certain point, you know, they paired you up with somebody who's just not very good. And you're like, oh, well, this is a bummer. I guess this is what they think of me, or this is where we're going this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, it's a difficult time of year.
I think it's a great point. I think those guys know first, too. You know, I've had combos with guys around the league, and they're the first ones to tell me, oh, this team sucks.
Yeah.
What? It's like, no, nah, like, trust me. We're too small. We're too this. We're too that.
Yeah, real.
And it's like, no, I'm here every day. I'm telling you. Like, I know what we're doing. All right, whatever. You know, and going back to the deadline, too, you do run a risk. I will say that. You do run a risk of, we've had a lot of conversations over the past couple weeks of like, yo, this is what the deal looks like. We had them on here. We're just like, yo, this is what I was told. But things twist, things turn. And Kevin's situation is a perfect example. Jimmy's situation is a perfect example. We thought Golden State was dead in the water. We had loud reports that were said, hey, he doesn't want to resign there, so it's over. Mm-hmm. And then they get him, and he resigns there. He signs contract. So things change so much. I mean, I've had friends in the league who, yeah, they're blindsided by trade. I've had guys who were on the bus. Mm-hmm. On the way to the plane, it's like, oh, you got to get off. You're out. That's crazy. You know, Max Christie, he's a friend. I texted him that night. He was like, yo, great opportunity, bro. Like, don't trip. No clue. Nobody's calling Max Christie in that scenario. They're calling Anthony Davis mm-hmm. to say, yo, you know, AJ Johnson. He's killing it in the G League. He's trying to make it up to the Bucks team. He thinks he's going to be on that Bucks team for 4 years. He got drafted there. First round. Everybody felt like he took a reach. No, he's a wizard now. Yeah. It happens that fast. And it's like, that's part of the risk you run to say, to go to your guy, John Collins, and say, hey, look, you're in talks. You're going to be out. Mm-hmm. John Collins is still on Jazz now. Right. So you've ruffled his feathers for nothing, and he's still got to play. You know what I mean? So there's some risk to that. And it's trying times for those dudes, stressful times. Man. And – you know, it sucks for them. And now we're in a league where guys are even supposed to be safe. We had Anthony Edwards, Nikola Jokic. We had Kevin, who actually said this before the stuff broke. And many different players in the wake of Luka being traded going, yo, I guess we can all be traded now. Mm. Like Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, all those guys got on the podium and said, yo, it could be any of us. So it's definitely trying times for those dudes. And, you know, I know they cry on 1,000 thread sheet, whatever pillows, but it's still stressful for sure.
I saw a graphic. I had tweeted it out, and it had Jimmy Butler in a Warriors uniform, Luka in a Lakers jersey, AD Mavs, Kuzma Bucks, Fox Spurs, LaVine Kings, and like Wiggins and Middleton all in their new uniforms, and the caption was like, imagine showing this graphic to someone a year ago. And I'm like, that is kind of wild. Like, what just happened in 2 weeks is crazy.
And it's like, more is gonna happen this summer. You know how this goes.
Yeah,
more guys will be available. You know, we're already talking to other guys to be available. There's threads to come. Everybody's saying Giannis is gone, it's over. Like, you know, all this stuff is happening. But that's the NBA. And You know, remember we used to have 7-year contracts and dudes would be sitting on that and making way too much. Way more no trade clauses and stuff like that. So it's a league where I feel like the trades matter the most immediately. I think baseball has an argument as well. Football, they're always a little wary to trade because you have to learn so much. You fit the system, so many different things. But, you know, you can trade for a megastar in the middle of NBA season, trade for maybe the best player in the league. And that actually happens. And now we're watching the Lakers last night, like, oh, man.
I was telling Dane, man, I said,
bro, they might win the title now.
They got vibes. That move has just injected life into the roster, into the organization, into the fan base, into crypto.com. Like, they I hate what I'm seeing. I hate what I'm seeing. I ain't going to lie to you.
If I'm Dallas, I don't know what it would have taken. I don't know what it would have. You don't have to trade them for several years, too. I don't know what that scale would have to say. I don't know what the breathalyzer would have to say. Like, whatever rumors you want to bring up. I don't know what it would have taken. But whatever it would have pushed me across the line, it would have taken more than Anthony Davis, Max Christie, a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think.
And then you watch them trade the other assets the next day.
Yeah.
You didn't even get Connect. You didn't get Reeves. You didn't, like, you didn't get none of them.
You didn't get the second first-round pick that they had Hayden. Yeah, I think that that's one of those ones that's always going to go down. I mean, clearly, like, we're seeing with the Fox stuff, there's so much more that we know behind the scenes, but also that the players know behind the scenes, the front office knows behind the scenes of the why. How did we get to where we are today? But specifically with Luka, I mean, there's been red flags since he was like a 17, 18-year-old kid driving around Europe doing the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. And you're always waiting for that moment where he grows up or he figures something out. And I could see it, like, you know, you get to the finals and it's, you're like, okay, look, we made it to the finals. And then he gets there and just gets picked on the entire time, gets absolutely destroyed on the defensive end. All they did was switch and attack. Mm-hmm. Just him. It was like 70% of the offensive plays were run right at Luka. And you got to at some point go, it doesn't really matter what we put around him. Like, it's going to take him deciding to be a pro, deciding to get in the best shape of his life, you know, give up all the vices, all the craziness that surrounds him, and focus on being a player. And after, what, 6-7 years, you get to a point where you're like, okay, that's never happening. It's 7 years there, right? That's just, it's never going to happen. And I think you have to come to that realization quickly with players. Like, again, Marvin Bagley's in that same draft. He's drafted the pick before. The Kings came to the realization a couple of years ago that Marvin was just never going to be the player that they thought he would. And with Luka, you're always still caught in that, oh man, he's so great. But, and I just don't know that he can ever get there. And like, so yeah, he's going to the Lakers and maybe LeBron has this incredible, you know, relationship with him and gets him in the gym and gets him working. But then again, the second that someone's not babysitting him, does he go back to the same person he was? Because chances are he does. And you're going to be caught in this perpetual cycle of just, you know, the injuries, the lack of defensive acumen because he's not in good enough shape to play defense half the time. And yeah, he's great, but he's always great with an asterisk as opposed to some of these other players that, you know, you're just like, okay, I don't have any of those questions about Jokic even when he gets big. He's still absolutely unbelievable. With Luka, I don't know that he holds up.
You know, and everything that you said, I agree with, and I understand. There is a certain box office appeal, though. Like the other, like for instance, if the Lakers would have traded for Jokic, they would have been a better team this year. Maybe they would have won a championship, but you got. Did you see Crypto last night? Like, Luka wasn't even playing. Luka wasn't even playing, and you could feel it off the screen, the life that had been injected into that. Luka's just, he's box office. He's box office.
I hear the basketball concerns. I really do. They were a top three defense after the break last year. Haralabai Vulgaris, former Mavericks employee, a great tweet about this, kind of broke this down, but They found ways to defend. Now, am I upset that he can't defend Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on an island on a five-out offense? Kind of. But we are talking about the finals. And we are talking about he got there. It only took five games to beat the Thunder. It took six to beat the Wolves. It might be the other way around. I don't have it in front of me. But they got there relatively easy. And he is a historic offense unto himself. And he's 25. Mm-hmm. And now he's seen it. He's seen what it looks like. We've seen defensive liabilities in the finals do just fine. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving is his former teammate. You're going to have to deal with now. Stephen Curry, who developed to be a little bit better of a defender. Like, I don't scream at me, Warriors fans, but he was the pick. The guy was getting picked on. He was the smallest guy. We watched it with Jokic multiple seasons. Like, I don't know that that's enough for me to just bow out of the Luka Doncic experience. Maybe there's more. Maybe it is the money. Is he a defensive liability in the worst game possible? For sure. But we are talking about the finals. A team that wasn't necessarily picked to make the finals went up against defensive gauntlets on the way there. You know, what I always say about this is the guy who wins the defensive player of the year, we very rarely rank him as the best guy in the league. Very rarely. The guy who leads the league in scoring, like Luka just did last year, oh, he's a bad dude. That's a top five dude. He led the league in scoring last year, a pretty historic season, and seems to only get better. I get what you're saying about the concerns, and clearly the Mavericks had those concerns, and they looked at that and said, yo, we need three more wins of defense to win a title. I'd rather be there than trying to figure out where we find historic offense at for this team. And that's just my counter to that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And to trade them in conference, to trade them to a rival, to trade them to a team that's ready made to win a championship. Are you going to go watch the Lakers win a title with Luka and LeBron before you make a conference final? Like, that's a bullet you'll have to bite. That's why, you know, you see Nico Harris on the podium say, I might get fired for this. Would you trade? To me, here's the thing. And this is kind of I know we're beating a dead horse at this point, but to only call the Lakers, like, you didn't call Philly. You didn't call Milwaukee. Like, if we're just going to swap stars, I got to see somebody can I see somebody that's in their 20s? Can I ask about Jason Tatum? Can I ask about Shea? Mm-hmm. Like, I got to ask about some of these guys.
Jaylen Brown, something like that. Like
go get Jaylen Brown. And we're going to sacrifice this dude. We don't want to pay him $350 million. Like, okay. But let's get another dude we might want to pay that. You know, maybe he's on a better contract.
On top of that.
That's just crazy.
Has Nico watched the NBA for the last 40 years? Why would you send him to the Lakers? Like, why?
You're going to pay for it.
What are you doing?
Yeah. He's going to win. You know he is.
That was ridiculous. I did have a question now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was before I watched them last night, where things changed, and we got like 30 seconds. But I had a question. Maybe we'll talk about this next week, about who in 5 years, what are the five best teams in the NBA? And I didn't have the Lakers in there. I had,
even now,
I had Thunder. I put the Knicks there. I had the Spurs, Rockets, and
what Cavs. Was
the other team? I didn't have the Cavs there either. What was the other team? The Celtics.
Oh,
makes sense.
Knicks were the only one that, like, yeah, maybe you could change my mind on. But I think the Rockets got everything. I think the Rockets, they got it all.
I said it before the season. You guys thought I was crazy. I said, this is the most talented team in the NBA. And you're like, more talented than OKC? And I said, yeah, they're more talented than anyone. They're just younger.
Yeah.
And like, Boston is another beast, but the most talented young team in the NBA, bar none, and they have everything.
Yeah, they got talent and assets.
They're
and that
overwhelming
man,
when you watch them.
And that, like, and that man,
the athleticism is overwhelming.
A man is if he ever get a Dr. Dish in that gym and start working on that jump, it's crazy. It's over. It's over. Yeah. Eddie, man,
You got to call Minnesota.
Come on. Give me in. Just don't trade them to the damn Lakers. I can't believe that happened, man. Eddie, you the GOAT, man. Like you said last night on the stories, now you can chill out. Now the group chat just go back to regular, at least for like 2 months, because then it's about to pick back up again. So, you know what I mean?
Don't remind me.
You the man. Hey, if you
work for me, I mean, I know I was late.
Nah, you good. If you get out of here for All-Star, man, come on, man. We got a link for
sure. I'll tap in for sure, man. All right. Good seeing you guys.
Take care, man. Eddie Gonzalez, man. Sacramento's own out here. He's that dude, man. James Ham, you see, he's here with us. We'll be back. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk about the press conference. We'll talk about some of the things that went down that Damian talked about with talking to De'Aaron Fox, and maybe even talk about that game last night and what they need to do going into this All-Star break on the court. To kind of help their season, man. So we'll be right back. A little bit more ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station. D'Lo and KC on this Friday afternoon here in Sacramento, California. Got my main man, James Ham, rocking with me here as we close out the week. James, you were just down at the Golden 1 Center for the introductory press conference for Jonas Valanciunas and Jake LaRavia. Your thoughts? I thought they were regular, but I can't wait to see them on the court.
It was like the quickest introductory press conference of all time. It took seven minutes, 29 seconds. And the funny thing is it was delayed because they forgot to have a security guard at the security entrance. So I showed up, all the media was sitting outside. So we all like scrambled in way late, and then it took them a little while to get the two players out, and then it was over. Like, what just happened? I thought a couple of things. Number one, Jonas Valanciunas is either absolutely hilarious or he's like accidentally funny. And I'm not sure which it is. I think he's funny, but I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. I also walked away thinking that like this whole time, we had a Lithuanian player here in Sacramento, right? And Domantas Sabonis. I now realize that Domantas Sabonis is like the Taco Bell of Lithuanian players, and Jonas is more like the Taqueria version. Like, you're like, one of them now feels a lot more Lithuanian than the other one. And you're like, wait a sec. They're not both from the same. And it's because, you know, Domas, of course, was like born and raised in Portland.
Yeah.
But you get Jonas and all of a sudden, like, that's what a Lithuanian, you know, like basketball player is supposed to sound like. And just this gigantic human being that, you know, even when he tried to, he, at one point he caught himself. I think he almost said Vins, not Wins. Mm-hmm. And he caught himself and fixed it. So now I'm like looking at the two of them in a totally different way. And he was napping when Domas called him to tell him he got traded. And I find that hilarious, which is why I asked him specifically about it. But Domas is always napping. Domas is a notorious, like, middle of the day. He goes to shoot around. He goes home. He naps for a couple of hours. And then he, you know, he needs his pregame nap every game. And so I'm thinking that might be a Lithuanian thing, or maybe it's just a gigantic human being thing where they just need more naps.
Naps are good. We need naps in America.
I need more naps because I find that I'm either driving here or driving somewhere else and coming back to here or driving to the arena, like, at all times. I feel like I need naps.
Yeah. The funny thing is, or not funny, is there's just never any time for naps. Like, I just never have an opportunity to take a nap.
Well, it's because you have two radio shows that you do.
I should be able to take a nap between, like, from 9 to 10, but no, can't do that.
I will on game days. After I get done with the Insiders, I'll drive home and I'll take a quick nap, and then I'll either hop on with you guys or, like, if I have to drive back down the hill, I'll do that too. Yeah. But, like, I do try to, especially, you know, like, I can't do this forever, but 15 years in, like, it's a grind on your body. And, you know, all the time sitting, all the time in the car. And, like, you add a radio show in the morning where really we're on the air for 2 hours. It was more like 3 hours, three plus hours of sitting. And then another hour driving anywhere else. And so, like, the sedentary lifestyle is not the greatest. Yeah. But, yeah, I love a good nap.
Before I talk about Laravia, let's stay on Valanciunas. What'd you think of him last night in Portland? I thought he gave, I don't want to say exactly what you were looking for, but pretty close. Like, I thought he was fine. Like, I thought he was good. You saw what he could be. I mean, the guy just joined the team hours before, but you saw a glimpse of what he could be in that role. Like, he could end up being what we saw last night and a little bit more.
Yeah, I think what I realized very quickly is that he can act as a scorer in a way that I didn't think I realized. You know, like, you think, oh, he's going to get maybe a pick and roll here or there, you know, maybe a post up here and there, but really he's going to have to get most of his points off of grabbing rebounds and putbacks and stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, he's flying all over the court. Like, and Jonas Valanciunas in 32 minutes or whatever he's used to playing, you know, before this season, and him in like 12 to 15 minutes, like, he's going to come out with a whole bunch of energy because he knows that he doesn't have to worry about playing a whole bunch of time. Right. I think the other thing was the second that Domas picked up like a fourth foul and then a fifth foul, both times you're like, it's okay. You didn't have that moment of panic like, well, this is going to be a really, really rough 5 minutes. Yeah. Now, it was either way with Domas off the court, it was a really rough 5 minutes because some of the players that are playing still aren't, you know, of the caliber that you need to have on NBA basketball court today. And they either need time to get better or they just need to play better. Mm-hmm. So, like, those minutes were still a bit off. But I think that you now know that not only do you have a really, really good option for 12 to 15 minutes a night, but if, knock on wood, something happens to Domas, you actually have a backup that can step in and play 30-something minutes a night and hold down the fort. He's not going to be the same. And, you know, we talked about this the other day about how, you know, Zach LaVine is trying to learn the DHO game playing with Domas. You instantly see him and Valanciunas like have like chemistry. Like, he knows how to play with a big man like Valanciunas because it's a lot like Vucevic. Mm-hmm. And like there's almost like a calming influence that he's having on Zach LaVine while Zach's learning. It's like for 5 or 6 minutes, a half, you're going to get to play with somebody who is conventional and that you're used to playing with, a style that you're used to playing with. And I think that that's going to really help Zach kind of like find his sea legs here in Sacramento.
Yeah, man. One of the things that I really took away, like you, from Valanciunas' time, is he is a little bit of an offensive player. You kind of forget that. I mean, he would always kind of bust up the Kings for like 15 points, 12 rebounds. But, yeah, you can get the ball to him on the block, and he's going to do that. His first bucket was a little 12-foot jump shot. You know, he has that, and I think you kind of, forgot that when talking about what he could be with the Kings, and that was good to see. I want to talk about Jake LaRavia, but I do want to ask you a question. We kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier in the show. I think you kind of alluded to it a little while ago. What would be stopping the Kings from going to get a point guard in this buyout market and sending Devin Carter to Stockton to just kind of finish off the rookie year there? Because I think he needs a ton of work.
Yeah, okay, so I agree with you. He needs a ton of work. The deal with the Kings and the buyout market is just that they've never been highly successful in the buyout market. Like you get your choice. Basically, when you're bought out, let's say, like, you're Ben Simmons, right? I think Ben Simmons made $39 million this year, something like that. He's getting bought out, and so he has this gigantic bank account. He goes wherever he wants. So right now we know he's looking at the Clippers and the Cavs. To be honest with you, that's bad for Ben Simmons. Like, as a human being and as a basketball player, if he were to go to a place like Sacramento and be able to rebuild his value in a place where it's a little bit of obscurity, I think he would have a much better time than if he goes from the bright lights and negativity of Philadelphia to the bright lights of New York, and then, oh, let's go to LA because that's going to work now too. He's a player who has not been able to sort of figure things out off the court as much as it is on the court action. And so for me, I think it won't happen. Like, Ben Simmons is not going to come to Sacramento, I can't imagine. And the Kings don't really have a lot to offer to get him there either. So basically, when the Kings made the transaction for Jake LaRavia, they traded Alex Len and Colby Jones, right? Those guys make a combined veteran minimum contracts are worth $2.1 million, so $4.2 million, and LaRavia makes like $3.3 million. Mm-hmm. So you cleared up basically $900,000 to drop you below the luxury tax even further. The Kings are now like $3.4 million under the luxury tax, which helps because they can go and sign Isaac Jones if that's what they choose to do, or one of their other two-way players. But they also have these two other roster spots. I expect them to use one of those roster spots for sure, and then maybe do 10-day contracts with the other. Like, again, 10-day contracts, you can reward some of your G League guys, bring them up for 10 days, and then when that expires, like, a 10-day contract's worth a ton of money. I don't know the exact, you know, dollar amount, but I think it's roughly like $160,000.
I made one.
I would take a 10-day contract. They can sign me to a 10-day contract anytime that they want. They're not getting much out of it, but I'll set a screen. I'll guarantee you that.
A screen setter.
Yeah, and then I might not get up from the screen, but I'll set that screen. But like, they don't have a ton of money to go out and say, hey, if a player is on a low-dollar contract and he gets bought out, and then he's on the free agent market, and someone says, hey, we have $8 million still and under the cap, hey, we'll give you $8 million to sign with us right now. That's how you miss out if you're the Kings. So I don't think that there's going to be a lot of that. Most buyout candidates are big money players. And there's also like a certain dollar. If you make over a certain dollar when you were bought out, you're not eligible to sign with a team that's over the apron, either the first or the second apron. So the NBA is limited where those players can go. They can't just all go to the Boston Celtics and like, hey, we're going to go win a ring type deal. But I would expect the Kings to at least kick the tires on some players. And, you know, Reggie Jackson is a player that I think they would help the Kings. If DeLon Wright gets bought out, he could help the Kings. Bones Highland is a guy that I would say, hey, Like, why not give him an opportunity to come in? And like you were saying, at that point, if you've got a player, go ahead and allow Devin Carter more time at the G League, at least for right now. Mm-hmm. And I think if this season kind of spins out and we get to the point where the Kings are, you know, 5-6 games under 500 and well below the 10th seed and they don't really have a chance for playing, I do think Devin Carter will play a substantial amount of time. But for right now, those are tough minutes. I don't care how many charges he takes or if he gets some rebounds. Like, the rest of it is really tough.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for him at certain points. You know, he went in the game last night. He barely played and ran like a negative 11 or a negative 12. And you could see, like, sometimes the plus minus, you know, isn't correct. You know, even last night, poor Keon Ellis had a negative plus minus for the game. But sometimes it's because that's who they're playing with.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm with you. Devin needs a lot of work. And it's not just that, you know, he had shoulder surgery. He missed all of training camp. He missed all of the buildup to the season. He missed all of this time. Mm-hmm. And then to just throw him out there, it's almost impossible. I mean, to be honest, I think the Kings would find more success with Mason Jones at this point. I think Colby Jones could have helped them more than I think Devin can at this point. And it's not because Devin's a bad player. I don't know who he's going to be as an NBA player, but he just doesn't have any experience and he didn't get any of the sort of the time to get on the court and to work yourself up to playing minutes in the NBA.
Yeah, man. It's tough, man. It is tough to for his minutes, and I'm sure they try to simplify some stuff for him so it's not moving 1,000 miles per hour, but he just hasn't been able to catch up yet. He just hasn't been able to catch up. And, you know, it seems like I could be wrong, but like Doug gives him an opportunity to see what it's looking like in that first half. And the mindset is probably like, see what you can do. You know, if you can build some momentum, we'll get you back in there in the second half. And he can never build momentum. And we never see him in the second half or for a significant amount of time in the second half. And, I look at his game. I just look at his game. The quality of shots he's able to get up, the able to get past somebody, the creation or lack thereof, shot creation for others. And I don't know how that changes on the NBA level this year. I don't know. Like, he's, I don't know.
I'm with you. He needs a California Classic. He needs a Las Vegas Summer League. He needs a whole entire offseason working out with a professional training staff who's not just trying to get a shoulder back in place. You know, he needs all of that. And like that first summer between your first and second year is so crucial, because typically what you do is you get in, you get your feet wet, and you realize all of the things that you have to work on. And it's typically basic. It's like, hey, need to get more reps as a three-point shooter. I need to gain 15 pounds of muscle. You know, there are very specific things that players typically work on in that first year. Mm-hmm. Maybe your ball handling isn't to par with the NBA level, and you've got to just work on that stuff. I think as of right now, you get to this offseason, and it's been so rough for him, I don't even know what the roadmap is to get him to where he needs to be. And that's where I think scaling him back, not putting him on the court for a stretch of time, putting him in the G League and letting him play 30-something minutes a night. And you put him in the G League, and he did great, you know, right off the bat. Like, he had a huge game that first night. But, like, you need lots and lots and lots of reps where you're the primary guy. You've got the ball in your hands, and you're the one who's trying to, you know, run traffic and try to improve and help your teammates and all that stuff. And he just hasn't had that opportunity. And I do think he was rushed, but it's partially because the Kings had a hole. And, you know, sure enough, you put a guy in there who does not look at all like comfortable or ready right now. And he's not going to tell you that. And the Kings aren't going to tell you that. But everybody who's watching the game is like, oh, okay. I mean, you should all be able to understand it.
He just looks overwhelmed by the NBA game right now. Like, I think he got to this point for a reason. He's talented. He has talent. Mm-hmm. But so I'm not here to say like he'll never get it. But right now, he's not ready for the NBA. And like you said, all those things play a factor, like the injury and, you know, not getting a proper introduction and all this. That all plays a factor. But he just does not look ready for the NBA game today.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, to what I was saying earlier, you know, last night's game, Devin Carter ran a negative 10 in 8 minutes and 19 seconds, and a lot of those minutes came with Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis ran, I thought Keon Ellis last night was absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think everybody who was watching the game thought he was phenomenal. That's why a lot of people, again, today are like, why is he not playing all the minutes? He was a negative 11 in 24 minutes.
No, thanks a lot, Devin. Messing up Keon's number.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far, but you understand, like, there is a certain thing. Like, if you're not playing up to the level of the rest of the team, it's not fair to the team at this point. Mm-hmm. And, like, until he can get up to that speed, and again, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that, and for Devin to feel that way, mm-hmm. it's strictly because he missed 6 months. Like, if he started at day one of training camp with everybody else, I'm sure he would be perfectly fine right now. We would have hit a couple of rookie walls, mm-hmm. but he probably would be a player that you could trust for 12 to 15 minutes a night, maybe a little bit more than that. That's just not where we are today because of the injury, mm-hmm. and because of the rehab from the injury, and not only that, the way he hit the ground running from the injury, it's still, he's behind the eight ball, and it's tough, man.
Yeah, man, I wish him the best, man. I hope he gets, you know, his legs under him. I hope, you know, he starts to feel more comfortable out there, man, because he was put into a tough situation, like we talked about.
And, yeah.
You know, he's just trying to figure it out, so I hope it works out for him. Real quick, got a couple minutes left. Jake LaRavia, the more I see him play, the better I feel about his game and what he can do here. 6'8", 6'7", 6'8". He's a shooter. He's a little bit more athletic than he probably gets credit for, and coming from Memphis, he knows about defensive principles. Like, it's ingrained in the way he plays now, and I think all those things can really help this team in the second half of the season.
Yeah, Kyle is falling in love with him. Watched a bunch of tape, made some phone calls, all that stuff. Like, look, I think he's a player who, if you can play 20 minutes a game for 47 games to start the season, right, on a team that's second or third in the West, that means that you probably know how to play. I'm a little surprised that Memphis traded him, but maybe not, because they also didn't pick up his fourth-year option, and what that means is he's an unrestricted free agent this offseason. The most the Kings can pay him is $5.1 million. And so they probably looked at him and said, okay, even if you are good, there's nothing we can do really to keep you if you're going to keep getting better. The Kings might have that opportunity. We don't know how he's going to work out here. But the Kings need a guy who's 6'8". He's 6'8 in shoes. He's like 6'7 and 6'6 and three quarters without shoes on. Mm. And, you know, he's got like a 6'9 and a half wingspan. He plays defense. He's super smart. He's a glue guy. He's one of those players that we talk about that the Kings need all the time, like the Martin twins, mm-hmm. like that type of gritty, does everything, doesn't mind diving on the floor and getting a loose ball, you know, hits at a high clip from the perimeter, all that stuff. And I think he's a smart player. We're going to have to see how he develops and what he looks like with the Kings. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that you didn't have to give up Trey Lyles to get there. Yes. And I like the fact that now you have Jonas and you have Trey and you might have Jake LaRivia as his three bigs off the bench, you know, that combination there off the bench. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to get to play all that much. We'll see if there's 12 minutes, 15 minutes a night, but I do like what he brings to the table as a player. Mm. And, you know, he's one of those players who I think will start to earn more minutes as we get closer and closer, you know, to the end of the season.
Yeah, you had those three that you mentioned, put Keon in there, and now you've got nine guys that, like, are NBA right now guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you can play, and that can only help. So they got the Pelicans at the Golden One Center on Saturday night. I need that win. And then when we join everybody back on Monday, they'll be getting ready for a game against the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. Hammer, they need to win these next four games. At least three of them. I don't really care which three, but you need to win these next three. Three of the next four, at least. I think you might need all four, but you can only do that by getting that first one on Saturday. So we'll be right here on ESPN 1320 with the Insiders at 10 a.m. talking about everything that happened over the weekend, talking about the Super Bowl. I got the Chiefs winning, by the way.
I got the Chiefs.
There we go. So all right. We'll talk about the Super Bowl, maybe. And, yeah. We'll make sure We got everything that you need right here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320. Vamos Kings, light the beam.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.